Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu Perek Yud Bet. Chapter 12 of Yeshayahu is short, and it's a beautiful perek, only 6 psukim in total, so we'll actually get the opportunity today to read all these psukim together. They're filled with praise to Hashem and psukim that you'll recognize from davening and from tefillah. In our prior parak, we discussed how Yeshayahu's nevuot are referring to messianic times, describing an ideal leader who leads with justice and brings people closer to Hashem and closer to each other. This leader will usher in messianic times, which are defined by a time period of peace where nations will no longer oppress each other and there exists a universal recognition of Hashem. Why was Yeshayahu speaking about messianic times at this point in his story? And in order to answer this question, we need to delve a little bit deeper into the time period of Chizkiyahu, the king of Judah. We spoke about Ahaz, the evil king who brought idolatrous practices into Israel, who made an alliance with Assyria against Yeshayahu's direction. And Chizkiyahu is Ahaz's son, although in biology only, because Chizkiyahu, once he becomes king at age 25, he immediately showed great promise. He worked tirelessly to uproot idolatry that was entrenched in Jerusalem and also to build up the Jewish community. And to do this, he arranged a huge Pesach celebration at the Beit HaMikdash, actually delaying the celebration from the typical date of Tet Vav Nisan to celebrate Pesach Sheni, an opportunity to celebrate a month later in order to give time for the Kohanim to purify themselves and for the whole community to come to the Beit HaMikdash to celebrate together. Chizkiyahu dreamed of a united kingdom, one that united the northern and the southern kingdom, who had so much bad blood already between them. But Divrei HaYamim actually describes how Chizkiyahu sent messengers to the northern kingdom of Israel, inviting them to join in this communal celebration of Pesach. You can imagine the joy, the anticipation of Yeshayahu as he watched this very hopeful situation unfold. And in this context, it's very understandable that Yeshayahu's prophecy turns to messianic hopes, because here he is, living in the time period of a leader with character and justice, who can bring Jews back from all the places that they're scattered. In Yeshayahu's hopes, this leader can ultimately bring them to messianic days. He can usher these days of Yimod HaMashiach, which are characterized by peace and a deep relationship with Hashem. Chizkiyahu ruled during a complicated political situation. Jerusalem was a vassal state to the powerful kingdom of Assyria. Now, with the death of Sargon II in 705 BCE, Chizkiyahu ceases to pay his tribute to Assyria. In response, Sanherib blazes through the southern kingdom, destroying Lachish, which was the second most powerful city in the southern kingdom. Actually, there are many, there's a lot of archaeological evidence, these reliefs, these stone pieces that were part of Sanherib's palace that describe this battle against Lachish and Sanherib's victory. After that, Assyrian forces begin to lay siege to Jerusalem. Now, Chizkiyahu prepared the community on multiple fronts. Firstly, rerouting the water from outside of Ir David, the city of David, into the walls of the city. In what's now really a favorite spot to visit in the old city of Jerusalem, Chizkiyahu's tunnels. At the same time, Chizkiyahu doesn't only prepare on the military front, but he also gives a heartfelt prayer to Hashem. And Yeshayahu assures him in turn that he'll in fact be saved. And indeed, Sefer Melachim describes Jerusalem's miraculous salvation from the army of Sanherib. Now, given the miracles of this time, it's no surprise that this parak is a call to praise. And Yeshayahu begins in Pasuk Aleph by saying exactly that. Va'amarta bayom hahu, odecha Hashem ki anafta bi, yashov apcha v'tinachameni. And he really mandates, he actually predicts, on this day we'll say, we thank you, Hashem, Ki anaftami is actually an interesting phrase because it really means because you've punished me, you've dealt harshly with me, but now yashov apcha v'tinachameni, like your anger has subsided and you, Hashem, have comforted me. And it's interesting, at that point of the process, I think what Yeshayahu is pointing to is that we can even see the punishment, the harsh things that happen, as part of the process that got us into this better time. And then he continues in Pasuk Bet with really, I think, a favorite Pasuk that we say every week in Havdalah. Hine el yeshuati evtach v'lo avchad ki aziv v'zimrat yadonai v'hi li lishua. And he continues to say, Hashem, you are the God of my salvation. I will have faith in you. I won't fear because you are my strength and you have been for me as a salvation. And this again in Yeshayahu's time, in Yeshayahu's vision, is a result of Hashem's salvation after so many difficult time, after such a difficult time period. It's a result of us and Hashem coming back together. And once we were saved, really seeing that Hashem is the source that we can count on at all times. And it makes sense, actually, that this is said in Havdalah after Shabbos, because Shabbos is that time where we actually feel that faith and we kind of stop everything around us in order to focus on that relationship with Hashem. And it becomes more deeply rooted. We can realize, you know, without all the mess of everything going on around us, we can realize that Hashem really is the source of our strength. And then we continue similarly with Havdalah again. Ushafta mayim b'sason mimaynei ha'yeshua. And then we'll pour water with joy from the springs of salvation. And Radak says something very beautiful here, that a ma'ayan, right, which is a spring, is something that always continues to give water. And that will be part of our relationship with Hashem at that point. We'll realize that Hashem is the source of water, water that's not running out, water that we can always count on. And Yeshayahu continues then with an imperative, and we're going to read the last three psukim of this very short parak, psukim dalet, hey, and vav, with an imperative to the people. V'amartem b'yom ahu, hodu l'donai kiru b'shmo, hodil ba'amim alilosav, his kiru ki niskav shmo. And we'll say on that day, this is our command, and we'll praise Hashem and sanctify his name, but we'll take his name and we'll call it out from the hills to all the other nations, telling people of Hashem's actions. And again, the same theme, Zamru Adonai ki ge'ut asa muda'at zot b'chol ha'aretz. We'll sing to Hashem because of all the glory, everything that he's done, and we'll make this known in the entire land. And this comes back to really this universal theme of Yeshayahu, that the goal is not just for Hashem's name to be known amongst Bnei Yisrael, but also throughout all the nation. And he closes in Pasuk Vav, Tzahali v'roni yoshevet Zion, ki gadol b'kirbech kadosh Yisrael. And this gratitude will turn into joy, because we'll feel that closeness, we'll realize how much Hashem has done for us. Now, according to the Gemara, it is actually here that King Chizkiyahu fell short. And I'm going to read a very brief few lines from Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Dalid, where the Gemara actually takes Chizkiyahu to task. Bikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asod Chizkiyahu Mashiach b'Sancheirev Gogu Magog, right? God really wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, as you know, as per Yeshayahu's messianic hopes, v'sancheirev Gogu Magog, and Sancheirev, the king of Assyria, would be representative of what's usually discussed in the end of days, the enemy king as enemy country as Gogu Magog. But what happened? Why not? Amra midat hadin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to speak, right, the character of justice, of din, came before Hashem and said, Ribono shel olam, uma David melech Yisrael shamar kama shirot v'tishbachot lefanecha, lo asito mashiach, chizkiya, shasita lo ko nisim halalu, v'lo amar shira lefanecha ta'asehu mashiach. So this midah of justice comes before God, really like this kind of represented by the heavenly court, perhaps. And they say, wait, Hashem, this can't be. David HaMelech sang all these beautiful praises to you. He created the book of Tehillim. and you didn't make him Mashiach, but Chizkiyahu, who didn't sing Hallel to you, who didn't sing Shira to you after this great salvation, you would make him Mashiach? Now, aside from the angel's question, the big question that jumps out at us is, how could it be that the great Chizkiyahu, who received such a great salvation, didn't sing praise to Hashem in response? And in order to understand this, Chizkiyahu's hesitation, his lack of that spontaneous reaction, we really need to put ourselves back into what that situation was like. Because Chizkiyahu was dealing with a situation of salvation, but also a situation of loss. Remember, we described the destruction of Lachish. So many Jews died in that battle. The community was still, Jerusalem was still standing, but Jerusalem was alone. Right? So much of the southern kingdom had been destroyed in this process. So while Jerusalem was saved and there was great miracles, yet with all the destruction that came before that and the isolation now of Jerusalem, is this really a time to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And shockingly, the answer is yes. See, this is what this parak teaches us. This is the job of the king, to recognize losses and yet at the same time acknowledge Hashem's hand and the magnitude of the miraculous salvation. And it's this spontaneous reaction that's missing from Chizkiyahu's response. I once heard a shir about this parak from Rav Yigal Ariel, and he spoke about the debate that the Israeli rabbinate had following the Six-Day War, whether they should institute the saying of Hallel. And after deliberations, they decided that it should be said on the following Shabbos. When Rav Yecheskel Sarna, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Chevron, heard this psak, he said, I already said Hallel on Monday. And Rav Ariel pointed out that it's this exact spontaneous reaction of Rav Sarna that was missing from Chizkiyahu. And it's fitting then that this parak, as well as the parak before, serves as the Haftorah for Yom HaAtzma'ut. It's our response to the modern-day miracle of the State of Israel. And in closing, I would suggest that this parak demands of us to recognize Hashem in our everyday lives as well as in world events. In fact, it demands us to look for Hashem's hand even when it comes along with pain, and the process or the result may not look exactly as we hoped. It teaches us that the recognition and the praise are an essential part of the process itself. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.